Turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10. This will be a very familiar place. I desire your prayers.
Yes.
I need the Holy Ghost
to
enable me and empower me to preach.
I
can't preach on my own. But He's well able to help us tonight. I trust you pray for us. I want to say before we read the text, it's good to be here. I've been looking forward to coming and being with the church here. Brother Terry and Brother Billy and Brother Height and others. And it's good to be among the people of God. And if you're up where I am, it's kind of a desert place, barren. I don't have many preacher brethren that I can fellowship with. I got to go a long distance the majority of the time to have that fellowship. And so it's a blessing to me to get to come.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 17, chapter number 10. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?"
Right.
And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth."
Right.
And Jesus, beholding him, loved him.
Yes.
And said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven.
Yes.
And come and take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I'm going to stop with that verse. Lord, help us just for a few minutes. Just a thought tonight. Wasn't really expecting to preach, but I had this thought on my heart this morning. And I thought of this young man reminds me of so many in our day. We're living in a time when people want to be saved, but they don't know how, and neither does anyone know how until God reveals unto them. I'm afraid today we've got a lot of head knowledge, but not much heart knowledge. We got people that's wanting to get to God for the wrong reasons. It seems like that this young man was one of them. He wanted eternal life. In other words, he wanted to be saved. But I believe it was for the wrong reason. We're living in that day. I'm going different places, and a lot of times we see the Holy Ghost moving in the services, and I've experienced, thank God, seeing conviction upon the services. But I'm seeing folks come, and not just young folks, but middle-aged and old folks that are coming to an altar, and seems like they pray and can't get anywhere. They want to be saved, but I'm afraid many for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something tonight. You can't get saved just because you're afraid of dying.
Right.
That's not going to get you birth into the family of God.
Amen.
You can't get saved tonight just because that you're afraid when you die you'll go to hell.
Right.
There's much more to it than that. You've got to realize the reason why that you turn to God. And only the Holy Ghost can reveal that unto you. I'm thankful that He does it through the preaching of the Word of God. But I want to tell you something tonight. He personally must come to your heart's door. He personally must reveal to you what you are. He'll reveal to you what you are and who you are and where you are and why that you're going to hell if you don't repent. And you'll never get to God until He reveals unto you. The reason you're going to hell, and the reason is you're a sinner exceedingly before a holy God. You was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You chose to sin when you reached that age of accountability because it was your nature to do so. And until God reveals unto you that you're wicked and undone, unworthy, undeserving of His grace and mercy, and makes you to see your condition, you'll never turn to God for the right reason. I'm afraid we're not got the right reason today. This young fellow didn't have the right reason. One of the other gospel writers, he said in his message of this, he said, "What lack I yet?" In other words, he's claiming to be a pretty good fella. I think we got a lot of people today that thinks they're in pretty good shape because they're not thieves and drunkards and dopers. But I'll tell you something. Your righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Everyone sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you can't get to God on your good deeds and good words. It doesn't matter how good you are. You may come a time in your life that you decide, "I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to straighten up and quit my bad habits." You better be careful about that. That'll get you further away from God than you was to start with. You can't do anything to merit favor from God. You can't do anything to make God approve of you or anything you do. You can do absolutely nothing to please God. There must come a realization through the Holy Ghost of what you are and where you are and who you are. You're on a broad road that leads to destruction. And I want to tell you something. It'll be more than just a little 5-minute prayer when Holy Ghost conviction really gets a hold of you. It'll do more than just coming to an altar, chewing your chewing gum, and a bow down and saying a few words, having the church to come around and pray. I'll tell you something. When Holy Ghost conviction gets a hold of you, it'll make you tremble on fear. It'll put condemnation and shame in your heart and guilt in your mind. You'll feel unworthy, undeserving, and as low and wicked. You'll be as the Apostle Paul said he was. You'll feel like you're the chief of sinners. And he'll tell you something. A broken heart and a contrite spirit is what God's looking for. He's not looking for your good works and good deeds. He's looking for you to come to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And the only way you're going to get that is through Holy Ghost conviction. This fellow wanted to be saved. He wasn't under conviction. Just like a lot of them today are coming. They come in my church. I preach over and over again. Don't get out of your seat and come. If you don't mean to do business, if God's not really dead in you, stay in your seat. Ain't going to do you no good. I can't pray you in. And nobody else can't pray you in. And I'll tell you something. You can't pray your own way in until you meet the condition that God has put in His Word. There's no need in you trying to get yourself in. You can't get in until you come God's way. I've seen too many come today, and I've got a fellow in my church. I love him. He's just not a member. He's not saved. He attends regularly, but he's afraid of dying. And he comes to the altar and prays, but don't do no good. And the reason is he's not under conviction. He's just afraid of dying. He had a heart attack. They put one of them defibrillators in him, and he's still scared. And he thinks he can get saved because he's scared. But after he was there a while, he's been coming several months now, and he's heard the preaching of the Word, and he's honest enough that he believes it all that he can believe it. He's come to realize that it's going to take Holy Ghost conviction to get him in. But he's riding down the road the other day. He looks over at me and said, "I really need to be saved." He said, "I don't know what's the matter." I said, "I do. You're not under conviction. I said, what's the matter with you? You're just afraid of dying. I said, that's not going to get you saved. You're going to have to meet God's condition. And until you realize that, you're never going to get in.
Amen.
God alone can reveal to you what you are. God alone can whisper to you and make it clear to you. I want to tell you, His thoughts are higher than yours. His ways are higher than yours. You got no way of getting on His level. And therefore, He's got to come down to you and make you see His ways. This man was wanting to get saved. One of these other writers said, he said, all of these I've kept from my youth up. And I almost believe he did. You say, well, preacher, I do. Well, that's your own opinion. I'm just giving you my opinion. I don't much believe he did. I believe he's like a lot of people today. He thought good of himself. He's probably good, pretty good fellow in the world's eyes. And there's a lot of them around. But in God's eyes, he's still a sinner off. And you see, he wanted to be saved. He came and ran and kneeled. In other words, he got up on his knees in front of the Lord. And asked what he had to do. There's a lot of people doing that today. That's not under conviction. I'm saying that to say this. He was wanting to get saved. But when the Lord told him what he needed to do, he wasn't willing to get saved. And that's where we are today. We got a lot of people wanting to be saved, but they're not willing to pay the price.
That's right.
They're not willing to meet the condition that God requires in His Word for a sinner to be birthed in the family of God. We've got them all over this country. Church house is full. They won't and won't and won't. But they're not willing to deny themselves. They're not willing to sacrifice. They're not willing to pay the price that God requires in order to get saved. And so when God sometimes reveals to them, they turn and go away without God. Just like this young man. He said, sell what you got. Distribute among the poor. Now somebody, I've heard somebody say, well, preacher, he meant if he'd just be willing to do that. No, he didn't. He meant for him to do it. He meant for him to sell what he had. And the young man wasn't willing to do that. You see, he thought he wanted to be saved until the Lord revealed to him what he had to do to be saved. And then he wasn't willing to pay the price. And we've got them filling our altars today that are wanting but are not willing to pay the price that God requires for a sinner to be truly, really saved.
Amen.
And it comes down to where the rubber meets the road. And the Holy Ghost whispers into one's heart what they must do. They're not willing, many of them, to do that. God knows what it is that's keeping you from coming to Him. That's one special problem. Every problem of the heart is a heart problem. And I want to tell you something. There's something. There's one thing above everything else that's keeping you, if you're not saved tonight, from coming to Christ. And God's going to reveal that to you before He reveals anything else to you. He'll get to the heart of the problem because the problem's in the heart. Now, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and not with the head. If it was a head knowledge, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, you know what they say. But thank God He goes further than that. He goes deeper than that. He gets into that inner chamber, that holy of holies that no man can reach, except Him. And there He'll turn up, and there He'll knock on the door, and there He'll reveal what your problem is.
Yeah,
but are we willing? That's the question, isn't it? We want to, but are we willing to? I want to tell you something else. This falls on over into the Christian life, too. We want to do a lot of things, but are we willing to pay the price? You see, I hear them preach all the time, well, I wish I had it like Grandpa did. And like Grandpa did, I remember going hearing them shout it out, and the old saints of God, well, I do too, just as a boy. I've seen the old ladies shout till their hair come down. And I've seen the preachers preach the sweat run off like they jumped in a river. I've seen the Holy Ghost sweep through the church. And you didn't know who's a saying what, but it's all in order. Because the Holy Ghost was the author of it. And you say, preacher, what do we got to do to have that? Just what God requires us to do in this day. We can't go back to that day and do what they done. But God's got something for us to do now. And that's to deny ourselves, pick up the cross and follow Him. not willing to pay the price. Somebody said, I want to be more spiritual than I am now. Well, are you willing to pay the price? God's looking for fellas like that. God's looking for that kind of man. He's looking for a man that has a broken heart. He's looking for a man that's got a contrite spirit. He's looking for a man that'll humble himself down before men and before God. He's looking for a man that'll receive all that the Lord wants him to do. He's looking for a man that'll get himself out, pick up the cross, and get himself out. The more you get out of yourself, the more Christ will flow into you. And the more that God will use you and reveal unto you the things that glorifies him. That's what it's all about. We don't deserve anything. We're not worthy of any honor. It's him that deserves the honor. It's him that deserves being praised and glorified. And if we're not where he wants us, if we won't get ourselves out and let him work and move in us, then he can't be glorified. You know, all about him glorify him is him.
That's right.
Ain't nothing you can do. But just get out of the way. You see, that cross is a symbol of death. That's what it's a picture of. Somebody said, well, what does it mean? We said, pick up the cross. You got a cross. You need to pick it up. That means kill out self. Kill out self and let him come in. See, what God's really after, what the Lord really wants, is he wants Christ, his son, to live in and through you. That he might be known that he's God in these last days. I'm going to tell you something. God works through the church. He don't work through anything else.
That's right.
Whatever he does, he'll be through the church. I'm talking about you that are born again. You that are really saved. If God does anything, he'll be through me and you. He's looking for a man that's not only wanting, but that's willing to deny himself and pick up the cross and follow him daily. He's looking for a man that breaks easy. He's looking for a man that sheds a lot of tears. He's looking for a man that'll humble himself. He's looking for a man that don't want his own way. He's looking for a man that wants to glorify his son. He's looking for a man that wants to live a godly, clean life. He's looking for a man that wants to honor his name and glorify him with his life. That's who he's looking for. Are you willing to pay the price? That's the big question. You willing to pay the price? You see, the sinner today, I'm afraid, is wanting to be saved but not willing to be. We've got saints today that's wanting to be spiritual but not willing to be. And so it's a thing of wanting and willing. The wanting part don't map to much, but the willing part means all of it. This man wasn't willing to pay the price. Have you ever seen something you wanted, had the money in your pocket to buy it, but it's just too high? I have a lot of things I wanted like that, had the money in my pocket to buy it. But something told me, it's just not worth that price.
That's right.
It's just not worth that cost. What's it worth to you?
That's
right. To serve God. What's it worth to you just to worship, serve God? What's it worth to you just to be God's man? I'm not talking to just preach. I'm talking to children of God. What's it worth to you just to be God's person? Just to let God take over in your life and rule you every day. Just to look at him once and as he really is, and that's Lord. Just to say, Lord, what will you have me to do today? Get up with the power on your mind and get on your knees and say, God, what will it be today for my life? Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to deny myself. I'm willing to deny others just to serve you and worship you. Lord, help me to pay that price. You willing? This man wasn't. The Bible doesn't give any other mention about him that I know of. My opinion, he's probably in hell. There's a lot of people today that wants to be saved, but they're not willing to pay the price. There's a lot of Christians today that want to serve God, and want to worship God and be more than what they are, but they're just not willing to pay the price. God's looking for some folks that'll pay the price. God's looking for some folks that'll just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do. Did you know when I got saved, that's what I said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I've not always done that. But at the time I said it, I meant it.
Amen.
With all my heart.
Yes,
God brought conviction on me, and I was the most miserable fellow that you ever seen.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I couldn't work on the job. I was in pure misery.
Amen.
Guilt and shame and condemnation fell upon me. I didn't feel like looking up. I didn't feel like I was even worthy to go in the church house. I went in the church house, didn't feel like I was good enough to be in there. I waited for the preacher to give the invitation. Didn't know I could just go any time. Finally, he stood in the front and gave the invitation. I ran. I was in the back and I ran. I didn't walk. I ran. And the house was full, probably over 100 people. That's big for my country. And I ran and I was weeping and crying aloud. You could have heard me for 2 blocks.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to pray. Didn't know what to do. And I run down and throw my arms around the old man of God.
Yeah.
And he just said about 2 or 3 words. He just said, "Get up there and pray." That's all he said.
Yeah.
He never took no Roman mouth. He never opened the Bible. There wasn't a dozen around to beat me on the back.
Yeah.
He just said, "Get back down there and pray."
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say vocally. In my heart, I was crying out every way I know how for God to come to my rescue.
Yeah.
The only words I could say was, "God help me. God help me." I thought they said it beauty time.
God help me.
I was saying, "Thank God he moved in."
Yeah.
And when I got up off of that altar that day, there's something come on the inside of me that ain't left me yet. I felt the pureness, the cleanness. I felt the guilt on the condemnation and shame was gone. And there's a peace from another world that swept into my soul and joy filled my heart. I could not contain it. I had to carry it. Holy Ghost conviction will bring you to that place for that you'll mean what you say because you know the reason why. I knew if I died I was going to hell. But I already knew that in my mind. But I never knew it in my heart until God revealed it. And then I knew it as much as God wanted me to know it, and that was enough. That was enough to get me to it. See, He brought me. He called me. There it seemed like I thought at the time he's mad at me. Oh yeah, when conviction come out, it run through my mind, he is mad at me. But I'm telling you, when I got up that day, I realized he just drawing me all the time with cords of love. He wasn't mad, he's loving me. He wants me to get word that he could get me in and use me for his honor and glory. Amen. I done preached something, took up too much time. I want to tell you something, God is wanting some folks that are willing.
Yeah.
He wants it to go further than just wanting.
Yeah.
He wants folks that are willing. Are you willing? If you're not saved, until conviction comes on you, you'll never be willing.
Right.
Somebody come, and I've seen them here lately, come and say, "I just don't know what's the matter. I just don't know what's the matter." I do. Conviction ain't reached its point yet where that you can get in. And when it does, you won't have much trouble.
That's right.
When conviction reaches where God wants it to reach and empties you and yourself, and you fall upon His mercy, say, "Lord, whatever you want," I guarantee you it won't take you long to get in. But you know the hard part, you don't want to get off the throne. You don't want to quit ruling your life and let Him have it.
Amen.
And I won't tell you, until you're willing to let Him have it, you can't get in. See, there's the big willing. It ain't that men are so much. They're not willing to let God take control of them. I want to tell you something. He's Lord now. Whether you may not claim Him, but He's still Lord. And it's just a matter, a question of when that you're going to have to bow to Him anyhow. It's not a question are you going to, just a question of when that you're going to bow to Him. He's Lord. And He wants those that will recognize Him as Lord. He don't save people just because they want Him to be their Savior. There ain't no such thing as getting saved just because you want Him to be your Savior and you don't want to go to hell and you're afraid of dying and you want to turn over a new leaf and be good. You'll never get saved out of
that. That's right.
And that's what the devil puts in your mind.
Right.
That's what some denominations put in your mind.
Yeah.
But if you really want what God says, you're going to have to become willing.
Right.
To pick up your cross.
Right.
Deny yourself and follow Him daily.
Amen.
And when He gets you to that place, you won't have any problem. You won't have any problem. I know when I got saved, there's a lot more people getting saved back then than they are now. And we have revival meetings sometimes go on for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, sometimes even longer. And when it's all wound up, you'd see 25 or 30 saved. But now, you're fortunate if you see anybody. See, that's preacher's fault. We got as good a preaching today as we've ever had. And a lot of times, it can't be blamed entirely on the church, although part of the blame does lie on us. But a lot of times, it's just the ignorance of mankind. They have no knowledge of what God wants. They're not willing to listen to the man of God. And a lot of people want to bring God down into their own imaginary little world. And they want to be saved, but they want God to be the kind of God they want Him to be. And He's not going to do that. He changes not. And He's God, and His way is the only way. Let me finish in saying this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, there's no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. And without the life, there's no living.
Amen.
And it's every bit in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you willing? You're going to have to be willing. God bless you.
Let's all stand.
You need to pray. You come and pray. Brother Hobson, you get your family ready and sing for us.